It is Thursday, March 21st, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle.
Ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll celebrate the first full day of spring, even if it doesn't feel like it, with soccer, hiking, and the return of Spring Fest to downtown Fayetteville, plus a day earlier than normal. Michael Tilley from the City Wire.
But first, the Arkansas Department of Health says Benton County is ranked the healthiest county in the state. The annual county health rankings takes into account 30 considerations like dentists in the area, the percentage of adults who smoke, and the accessibility of healthy food. Dr. Joe Bates, the deputy state health officer, says Ouachita County has the least healthy residents in the state.
I can guess that they're high in obesity, high in lack of physical activity, probably high in adults who smoke, probably high in teen birth rate, perhaps not doing very well in mammography rates. They probably have lower income on average.
Washington County was ranked the second healthiest county.
Lawmakers have the charge to present legislation to expand health insurance coverage in the state with the Affordable Care Act after House Speaker Davy Carter called for such a proposal by the end of the week. Speaking with our content partner KUAR News yesterday, House Speaker Carter says the end of the session is approaching and lawmakers need a specific proposal to begin the debate.
The end date of the session is certainly a major factor. It's just time to start taking this, taking this a little further. Let's get it down in writing. Let's incorporate the new information and let's move. It's time. We don't have much longer to before April 19th is here, and I'm ready to get to work on it.
The issue of possible Medicaid expansion is expected to bleed over into the 11th and 12th weeks of the General Assembly.
U.S. Senators Mark Pryor and John Bozeman are carefully considering possible proposals for a comprehensive immigration reform package in the Senate. Though there is new momentum for the reform effort, some Republican lawmakers on the Senate Judiciary Committee are concerned that their colleagues may be moving too fast. They want more hearings on the proposal before the committee votes on it. Senator Pryor says the bipartisan bill could be filed in April or May.
For the first time since I've been here in 10 years, it looks like there's a real chance to get comprehensive immigration reform passed through the Senate. Because it is a bipartisan bill and because you have this group of senators, eight senators, four Democrats, four Republicans working on it together, and they're taking time working through the issues, they feel like they're making progress.
Pryor says there is no guarantee that the bill will make it out of committee, and he has to see the end product before he decides whether he'll vote for it. Senator Bozeman says he's not in favor of amnesty, and securing the border has to be a top priority in any reform measure.
Another problem we face is 40% of the people that are here illegally have overstayed their visas. And so we've got to get a program in place, and there's some, you wouldn't think so, but there's some controversy over having an exit visa system so you know if people have actually left when they're supposed to.
Bozeman says any measure he would support would also have to hold employers accountable who hire undocumented workers.
The Arkansas Razorback women's basketball team opens play in the WNIT tournament tonight. They will face Memphis at a game that tips off at 7 at Bud Walton Arena on the University of Arkansas campus. And the weather forecast calls for an 80% chance of rain, sleet, or some mixture through the day for most of the KUAF listening area. Highs in northwest Arkansas today around 42. Highs should be around 46 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tonight, 40% chance of rain for most of the area. Lows will be in the mid to upper 30s. Now, in Eureka Springs, there could be up to an inch of winter precipitation accumulation. In Harrison, it could also be around an inch. Tomorrow, 40% chance of rain for most of the region. Highs will be in the mid-40s, though again, in Eureka Springs, less than a half inch of additional accumulation. And in Harrison, perhaps up to a half inch of more wintry precipitation. Bottom line, it may do something, it may not. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. It's not Friday. It's Thursday. But because we have kind of a special show tomorrow, I've asked Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, to come on 24 hours early, and Michael's agreed. Michael, welcome back to Ozarks at Large.
Well, thank you. But see, I know how this works. I'm not good enough for your special show on Friday. I get
No.
I appreciate that, Kyle.
In truth, we're trying to beat some deadlines a little bit, and we're kind of celebrating a 23rd anniversary of the show tomorrow. So.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. Well, let's start off with Crawford County, where this isn't really that much of a surprise, but an effort now exists to have Crawford County become the latest county in our region to allow legal alcohol sales.
Yes, and this has been, Kyle, this has been talked about for some time among elected officials in Crawford County. Nothing's ever come of it. No one's ever stepped up and said, okay, I think I'm going to try to make it happen. Well, here we go. Somebody's going to try to do that. A gentleman named Butch Barnes says that he's going to try to get an initiative very essentially similar to what just happened in Benton County, although I don't think he's going to get a lot of Walton money behind him like they did in Benton County, but it's essentially the same. He wants to have Crawford County voters have the chance to vote the county wet. His argument is that, most residents, because they're literally surrounded by wet counties, are just 10 miles or so away from purchasing alcohol, so why not, just let them be able to purchase it in the county and the county collect the sales taxes on that. So here we go. This is going to be something we follow. I was surprised even Crawford County Judge John Hall, in his quotes to us, he wasn't against it. I mean, he wasn't for it, but just the fact that it wasn't, hell no, I'm going to fight this kind of thing, the fact that it wasn't that, I thought was interesting.
You know, in past November, Benton County going, as you mentioned, there was a lot of money behind that effort. That wasn't so surprising. Madison County, narrowly, but nonetheless going wet, that's kind of an indicator.
Right. Well, I think that obviously a lot of things that have happened, especially just from a cultural standpoint. I think that people know now that, alcohol in and of itself is not the demon. It's not the bad guy, and that there are, it's just like if we didn't allow car sales just because a few idiots had wrecks and couldn't, nobody could drive a car because of that, well, that'd be a bad deal. Well, essentially, to some degree, that's what we've said historically about alcohol. There are a few people who abuse it, so we just shouldn't have it available to anyone. But we're seeing that change. We're seeing the shift. We're also seeing an economic development shift along with this. And this began with Pickett's Law, which changed how Betty Pickett's Law, which changed how people could get to alcohol in restaurants and bars and that kind of thing. And I know one time Greg Nabholz, who's promoted downtown development in Central Arkansas, has said, one of the cool things that people, if we're recruiting jobs from people outside of Arkansas, they're not accustomed to Arkansas's archaic alcohol laws. So that, in his argument, was an impediment to economic development. So I just think it's a shift of mindset on the issue.
Well, if Crawford County has taken at least a small step toward becoming wet, the aquatic park in Sebastian County has taken a step backward from becoming wet.
Yes, here we go again, and it at some risk of exposing some vanity. Before the vote, the previous vote by the city to approve the bonds for their share of the water park, CityWire editorial encouraged folks to not vote for it because we argued that an aquatics park was necessary, but it hadn't been thought out. This particular park hadn't been thought out. We didn't know what it was going to look like, how much it was going to cost, what was going to be the operations and maintenance fund, how did it fit into an overall quality of life package. And we were chastised by the progressives in the community for being against it. Well, as it turns out, everything that we suggested could be problematic has been problematic. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what it's going to cost. Now the Quorum Court, the Sebastian County Quorum Court members, some of them are concerned about future finances of the county. County Judge David Hudson has historically, for whatever odd reason, has held close to his vest, financial numbers. So it's beginning to unravel, and so now the question is, does it ever get back on track, and what does the city of Fort Smith, which is a 50-50 partner in this, what do they do in the meantime? So this, just about the time we think there is some certainty with this, it goes on another path.
It's really hard now to know which direction it's going to go.
I wouldn't want to guess. I mean, I'd just soon buy a lottery ticket than to guess, you know, where this is going to go. I'd have just as much luck.
The presence of Whirlpool is somewhat gone, but certainly not forgotten. And what's left in the wake is going to be part the subject of a town hall meeting next week.
Right. Of all things, Aaron Brockovich, who we know from the movie, and this is the real Aaron Brockovich coming to Fort Smith, not the actor, not Julia Roberts.
Right.
You know, this has been, it's interesting, Kyle. You know, Whirlpool just tried to pass this off, hey, this is no big deal. You just need this little ban to not be able to construct groundwater wells in this small area. This TCE, it's no big deal. Well, as it turns out, there was a lot Whirlpool, through their attorneys and through their hired environmental consultants, weren't telling us. And so there's been some backlash. The Fort Smith Board of Directors have pushed the Whirlpool request off their agenda in the meantime. And Debbie Keith, resident in this area, took it on herself, to her credit, and started making calls and trying to figure out what was going on and who had answers, and attracted the attention of Aaron Brockovich and her company. They are consultants in this area. They come in and determine if there's really a problem, and if so, what the corporation or what the players need to do about it. So this has reached this little inconsequential chemical that Whirlpool tried to tell us was no big deal has now attracted national attention.
And finally, before we enter our conversation, we have to talk about the headlines that started appearing yesterday afternoon and continue today about former Fayetteville-based real estate developer Brandon Barber, arrested in New York City, facing a bevy of federal fraud charges.
Yes, and I know time is of the essence here, but no one is surprised. I think that we are learning more about Mr. Barber's troubles. I think folks are surprised about the depth to which the charges go. I mean, he could face many years. It looks like if he added all the years up, it could be more than a lifetime. I mean, he's at least on if he just faces the bank fraud charges, it's 30 years. It could be 30 years.
And so, that's for each individual bank fraud charge, the maximum.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. So I suspect there'll be a lot of pre-trial motions. They may try to plead, but I don't know. The evidence is pretty overwhelming, although I've seen stranger things happen in a federal court case. But this is no surprise to anyone that's familiar with Mr. Barber and some of his developments. But what remains probably, or what happens next, probably will deliver a few surprises.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and more for the entire listening area. Michael, hope you can have some time off tomorrow on Friday.
Well, I'll try. And Okay. Again, kudos on 23 years.
Well, thank you very much.
On this week's Generic Blue Show, we have a name brand interview with the brothers and sister team of Trampled Underfoot. That's Nick, Danielle, and Chris Schneblin. They were in town a couple months ago. They stopped by the KO Studios. Listen to the fun they had this Friday night at 9 o'clock on the Generic Blues Show. We'll see you then.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
We're outside just hours after it officially became spring. And for this spring-themed part of our program, we've enlisted a friend and avid outdoors person for some advice.
You may know Robert Ginsburg as the host of Shades of Jazz on KUAF Friday and Saturday nights at 10, or as the president of the North Arkansas Jazz Society, but he's an experienced hiker, and for years he owned the outdoor-inspired business Uncle Sam's.
We've turned to Robert to get some tips on getting out this spring, specifically taking a hike.
And, well, Robert, welcome to our outside studio.
Thank you. I like it, Kyle. We're right here by this, by the trail, the Fayetteville Trail, and there's a lot of great urban opportunities to get outdoors, and I'm glad you guys are doing this spot, because this is probably the best, or certainly one of the two best times of year to really experience the outdoors. Spring is just so wonderful in Northwest Arkansas.
Well, we have some questions.
We do. Kind of what inspired this is I was thinking last year when you took us to hike the water to the waterfalls, there were tips that you were giving me that I had never considered because I'd never really been hiking. So for our listeners who maybe are considering going out and hiking for maybe the first time or maybe the first time in a long time, novices, what are some tips you can give them for getting prepared?
Well, as the season wears on, these things become more pertinent. Right now, one of the reasons it's so great to get out right now is the poison ivy's not really up that bad, and the ticks aren't out, and the rattlesnakes aren't out. So it's ideal in many ways. But very soon, in fact, even on a warm day in early spring, you'll have ticks that will be out and about. So that's a real obvious precaution you need to take in terms of hiking in this part of the world. And the simple way to deal with that, if you're going to be in grassy areas or in brushy areas or anywhere where ticks might be, is just to wear long sleeves and long pants. And it's a lot more comfortable to do that now, obviously, than in the middle of summer. And if you do that, and if it really gets into tick season, you can actually duct tape your pant leg down at the bottom so that they can't get through that. So that's a simple precaution to take. Poison ivy is not as big a factor now, although you can get poison ivy all winter if you handle the vine. So being aware of what the plant itself looks like, and particularly what the vine looks like, it's different from the Virginia creeper. It's got a hairier kind of a texture. So those are two things that I would definitely pay attention to. But those are issues that become more and more important as the weather warms up.
Say it is July or August and it's hotter and people think the idea of long sleeves and long pants is repulsive in the high heat. Then what do you do to protect yourself?
Then you turn to bug repellent, and it's definitely effective. There's a lot of people that have skin sensitivity and they don't want to use bug repellent. And if you follow the old timers, you'll see that rarely do you see them walking around in shorts and t-shirts. And it's for good reason, because really the best protection is just to cover up. But they've come out with so many new kinds of repellents now that are not DEET, which is the chemical that seems to be most effective, but that also people seem to be the most sensitive to. There's more natural bug repellents that work fairly well, just not quite as long. So there's options there.
So if I'm headed out on a hike, what do I need to take with me?
Always water. Water is essential, even this time of year when it's cool and we don't tend to sweat as much. You can get into some rigorous activities and you need to keep yourself hydrated. And then just kind of the basics, you know, you want to bring something to eat. It can be simple as a granola bar, or, you know, you can, depending on your appetite and how long you're going to be out, you can bring enough food for a day or an evening. I always like to bring a windbreaker, or that will double as a rain jacket, because sometimes the weather can be unpredictable. And then the other things that just can enhance the experience would be a small pair of binoculars, a camera, of course, and now just about everybody that has a phone has a camera, so that's become easier and easier. But those are some of the things I like. I usually wear a hat as well, just to kind of get a little sun protection. And that's the other element that kind of dovetails in with covering up for bugs and so forth. These days, more and more people are concerned about overexposing themselves to the sun. So you can now get bug repellents that also have sunscreen in them as well.
Okay, so let's say someone is planning on one of three different kind of hikes, and of course we've got the Razorback Greenway and it's almost connected, so there's all sorts of trails, but let's say someone wants to hike something that's a little bit more or a little less urban than the trail system we have. What's an easy, moderate, and maybe more experienced trail that you might suggest that people might not know about?
Lake Wilson, which is off of Morningside Drive outside of Fayetteville, has a beautiful trail that goes around it, and it covers a lot of different terrain. It starts right there at the lake, and it kind of follows the lake along through the woods, but then it goes up a drainage, and it changes the geology. It goes from giant sandstone blocks into a limestone area where there's a lot of fossils and just interesting little places to crawl and climb around. It's really close. I mean, you're still essentially in town, but it's you're definitely more in the wilderness. And always a great guide for trails, whether they be urban trails or in out in the boonies, is the Tim Ernst guidebooks, which there's one book that's geared more towards just day hikes. There's wonderful hiking now, as there is in Fayetteville, also in the Bentonville area and Rogers as well. And then all around Lake Beaver Lake, there's great trails. And a perfect day, I would say, for someone who is not that familiar with the area, doesn't want to get lost, but wants to see a lot, and this is a trip that I still do often, is from the Fayetteville, Rogers, Bentonville area, you can get to War Eagle Mill in no time at all, which is a really charming little place. It's been there forever and ever, and you can get lunch there, go up on the third floor. You can come out to the bridge and check out the old bridge and even hike down the river a ways. But then if you get back in your car and head just a mile or two up the road into the Hobbs State Park area, they have an amazing visitor center now, which has a lot of natural history about Northwest Arkansas, a lot of hands-on displays for kids, which are great. And don't forget to look up into the ceiling. It's covered with these wonderful sculptures of birds. And that can give you some inspiration to step back outside within a stone's throw, practically, of the visitor center at Hobbs. There's a couple of great trails. One of them is called Shattuck's Hollow, which is a loop, which I always like doing loops, but it's still only, I think it's less than 2 miles, but it takes you from the road down to the river, I mean down to the lake, excuse me, and then back around. Very short and wonderful hike. Kids can do it. And then just further down the road, there's another great trail, if you're more ambitious, it's called Pigeon Roost. The thing I like about Pigeon Roost is, again, it takes you through a myriad of different terrains, takes you down to the lakes, to some beautiful secluded places, and it's an 8-mile loop. But if you get about halfway in, or maybe just a short ways in, and you decide you don't want to do the 8 miles, there's a cutoff that turns it from an 8-mile hike into a 4-mile hike. So those are all, I think, some of my favorite trails, because you can get to them in a hurry. You don't have to be really experienced in the area to find them.
So if people want more information, is there a group or a website that they can contact?
There's a couple of groups that would be great for people that are really wanting to get into hiking more seriously. The Ozark Society and Ozark Highland Trails group, you can look them both up. They do organized hikes, and they grade them from, you know, in terms of how hard or easy they are. So that's a great way to kind of springboard into the whole hiking in the Ozarks.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday nights beginning at 10 p.m. On this Saturday show, I will play music from Keith Jarrett, Kurt Elling, Christian McBride, and I'll feature John Coltrane along with Duke Ellington and along with Thelonious Monk. John Coltrane as a sideman, and what you hear in the background is Coltrane with Duke. So that's Shades of Jazz this Saturday night beginning at 10 p.m.
It is Thursday, March 21st, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And Antoinette, what is today?
Spring.
Yes. We like that. Becca, Martin Brown, who is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspaper, is also a fan of spring. How are you?
Doing a spring happy dance.
There you go.
It'll probably snow a foot.
What was it, 3-4 years ago? You know, the first weekend of spring, we had a pretty good snowfall.
So let's not.
Okay. This is my favorite time of year because we are as far away from cold weather as you can get.
There's a really good argument in that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
There's a really good argument
right?
in that.
Baseball season's a couple
up
weeks
its
away.
Mind.
Okay.
I don't
I'm going to let you talk.
Okay,
this
I'll
is your
now.
Segment. Okay.
How about dropping improv for spring break?
Okay.
We're still finishing up spring break.
Sure.
And there is a drop-in improv event from 1 to 4 with Trike Theater at mm-hmm. Crystal Bridges. It's free. There's a spring break movie, The Rescuers, at 2 o'clock at the Fayetteville Public Library. Also
free.
There is a story time, Dr. Seuss's The Lorax, a story about the importance of trees, at 3 o'clock today at the Visitor Center at Hobbs State Park near Rogers. It's
free.
And it's Throwback Thursday, presented by the Big Picture House, a new independent movie experience in Fayetteville. This is a nostalgic homage to the films of the 1980s and 90s.
Oh.
Including Goonies and Pretty in Pink. Kyle's busy with nostalgic homage to the 80s and 90s.
I really, really thought you were going to say the 30s or the 40s or maybe the 50s and James Dean. We cannot have nostalgic reviews of the 80s and 90s.
We can be nostalgic for those times, as that was when I was just a wee girl.
No.
That somehow did not help.
No.
This is where.
What are the movies again?
The movies are Goonies and Pretty in Pink.
Oh.
Moving
on.
Pretty in Pink.
I haven't seen either one.
We really do
all
have to have
through.
That movie night.
Mm-hmm. Ducky from Pretty in Pink, one of my favorite movie characters ever.
Oh.
Not Ducky from NCIS, one of my favorite characters
I
ever.
I have no idea who that is.
What?
I've never seen that show.
There's so much confusion in this room.
I'm sorry. I never have.
And he makes fun of you for the things you haven't seen.
I mean, my excuse is I was little.
And his excuse is he just doesn't know NCIS is cool. Okay, moving on. 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
The Unlimited Theater at 612 West Center Street in Fayetteville. And it is?
Free.
There you go.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Still to come on this edition of Ozarks at Large, we'll celebrate spring some more. The Arkansas Comets U13 boys soccer team heads to Dallas this weekend to participate in a tournament next week that's got teams from Texas, Arkansas, Central America, South America, and Europe. That's just ahead.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
And KUAF is supported by contributing listeners and by Stonebridge Meadows Golf Club, located off Highway 16 East in Fayetteville, and welcoming golfers since 1997. Membership information, book a tee time, tournament information, and more available on the web at stonebridgemeadows.com.
Hobbs State Park Conservation Area is set to present a new series of programs titled Birds and Breakfast. Come enjoy a cup of coffee or juice and have breakfast with the birds. From 9 until 11 a.m. for a couple of Saturdays, the University of Arkansas will be catching, banding, measuring, and recording data on these birds and then releasing them back into the wild. The next one of these events is this Saturday, and there will be two more on April 6th and May 4th. The event is free and registration is not required. For more information, you can call 479-789-5000.
And some of the best regional watercolorist work of our time is coming to the University of Arkansas Fort Smith during March and April. The Mid-Southern Watercolors Exhibition is being shown at the Smith Pendergraph Campus Center. The juried exhibition includes 21 watercolors from members of the Mid-South Watercolorists. If you'd like more information, you can call the Campus and Community Events Office. Their number, 788-7300.
Join the Northwest Arkansas Workers Justice Center for its second annual Cesar Chavez Commemoration Dinner on Friday, March 29th at 6 p.m. at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Fayetteville. This is a cultural evening to honor local faith and community leaders who uphold the quest for economic justice. For tickets or more information, 479-750-8015.
Right here, yep. Oh, TJ. Watch that ball. That's a goal. That's too easy.
Last night, a few dozen boys were dashing all over a couple of soccer fields at Memorial Park in Bentonville. Around 6:30, Greg Schultz, the coach of three Arkansas Comets boys teams, was in the middle of one field offering instructions to his team of nine-year-olds.
Relax, relax. Good, open up to McGalley.
We've been working pretty hard with the majority of this group for the last 2 years, and that's pretty early for kids this age. And what we do is we focus on fundamentals. So we don't get advanced. We don't worry about winning. We worry about technique and fundamentals. And we think the rest will take care of itself down the road.
A couple of fields over, the Arkansas Comets U-13 team, U-13 is in boys 13 and under, was practicing drills. This squad is the two-time defending state champions in their age division. And next week, they'll be participating in the Dr. Pepper Dallas Cup. It's a pretty big deal. The 34th edition of the Cup features several age divisions with teams from around the world. Again, Comets U-13 coach Greg Schultz.
We have teams from England, teams from South America, Central America, Mexico. And we drew Southampton's Academy out of England in our early pool round. So we're pretty charged up about it. Expect that we'll have our hands full, but it's going to be a great experience for the boys.
At this level, are you able to scout any? Do you have any film?
You know what? We do. Amazingly, YouTube helps us sometimes, especially when we do a little game with the Disney circuit, a 3v3. We've done some scouting, but in these particular teams that we're trying to face in Dallas, we haven't been able to find any footage.
But hopefully they found none of you.
Yeah, exactly right. We purposely don't put stuff on YouTube for that exact reason.
What is the nice balance you have to have between being too competitive? Because there are other things when you're 13 or younger that you've got to think about, but getting competitive enough to go to something like the Dr. Pepper Dallas Cup?
Great question. Here's the secret. If it's fun, they'll do it all the time. So if you let competition and winning and aggression override fun, then the kids won't stick with it. And for us, you know, we're honest. In America, soccer is a fourth or fifth sport. It's a fourth or fifth choice over, you know, football, basketball, and baseball are the dominant sports in our country. And we make soccer kind of a way of life and just make it really, really fun.
Soccer seems to be one of those sports, somewhat like baseball, where size does not matter as much as it does in others.
Yeah, I agree with you. My kids, for example, my own sons, are going to be pretty small. So basketball at a collegiate or post-collegiate level is probably not an option. Football, sometimes if you're not either the elite athlete at 185 pounds in high school or a big, strong guy at 225, 240, you don't have a chance to play. So in soccer, all sizes work. If you're speed and if you're quick and you're fast, it can make it work.
Thinking person's game.
Yeah, it's a lot like basketball in that regard. You know, you got to keep the ball moving. You've got to move off the ball. We talk about, there's 11v11 in soccer when you get to the older age groups, and we talk about the most important guy on the field is the guy without the ball. So there's always 10 of you that are more important than the guy with the ball. A lot of coaches focus on one player with the ball, dribble, go, go, go. And then as you get to U11, U12, your success runs out. We focus on the brains of how do you help the guy with the ball.
The Comets are one of 10 teams from the U.S. in their age division. There are 10 more teams from Europe, Central America, and South America. Past winners have been teams from Mexico, Costa Rica, California, and Texas. The Arkansas Comets are guaranteed 3 matches inside their pool of teams.
The top 2 teams out of that pool will advance to the next round. And, boy, that would be a stretch goal for us. This is the big time. I guess it would be like going to the Little League World Series or something like that. So what we're hoping to do is show well, play hard, and compete. And maybe if we can sneak a tie or a win, we'd be really happy with that. From Arkansas, I think there's been one other team in the history of soccer that's been invited from Arkansas, and that was probably 20-plus years ago. So one of our advantages is nobody's expecting much out of us. So we'll go in not with a chip on our shoulder, but absolutely with something to prove, and we'll go. We'll give it everything we have.
No matter what happens, the experience that you and your team and parents and chaperones are going to have is going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing. And we did something different than a lot of teams. We chose not to pick up a lot of guest players from other states or other clubs because our intention is not to go win it. Our intention is to develop what we have and give all these kids an experience. And, you know, every kid will probably play, especially when we play England. I'm going to try as hard as I can to make sure these kids get a chance to play. I mean, they're still 13, and it's, you know, not World Cup. And so on and so forth. So they're going to have a blast, and we're going to go to some professional soccer games in the evenings and just really have a good time.
The roster for the Arkansas Comets U-13 squad has players from Fayetteville, Springdale, Bentonville, Lincoln, Gravette, and other towns. During a break in last night's practice, some of the team's players talked to me. We'll hear in order Junior Garcia, Eli Brandon, George Schultz, and Dayton Michon talking briefly about traveling to the Dallas Cup.
Yeah, it's going to be a great experience for the team. We get to witness, like, new people play.
Is it all at all intimidating or scary at all?
Not really. You just gotta like have fun and play your best.
Played with other teams, other clubs, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything different about this one compared to those?
This one's got more like technical work and a lot more skill.
And how does that translate? I mean, help me out because I'm more of a baseball guy. Technical skill, like what techniques do you work on?
Well, like you can do a lot of give and goes, like just back and forth instead of just like bombing the ball, just places and places.
I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be tough, but I think it's going to be a great experience to play somebody from out of the country.
What's the hardest thing about this sport?
If you get injured, is that you lose your touch and you might lose your position. So it's like you have to keep your body in great shape.
Head coach Greg Schultz says the bottom line for Comet Soccer is to focus on the kids.
What we look at sports for is much, much more than winning and competing on the field. It's all about life lessons. So you've got, for me, I played soccer in college. In those years for boys, 18 to 21, those are some tough years you could go the wrong direction. And if you have something like an athletic event or sport and a soccer coach that cares about you, we think that there's plenty of life lessons. You have to work hard. You got to learn how to win graciously. You have to learn how to lose as a good sport. You've got to learn that work hard. You have to work harder. You're not going to be able to compete. And you've got to learn that sometimes being a big fish in a small pond is not what it's all about. So I don't know. I think sports in general, whatever it is, to compete the right way, it's really teaching the kids. And that's our whole philosophy.
Where'd you play?
I played at University of Missouri at Rolla. So
The minors,
yeah. And not it was a Division II school, not known much for soccer. I think their average ACT on our team was a 30. So it was an academic school, and I had a chance to do both, and that's why I went there.
Greg Schultz, the coach of the Arkansas Comets U-13 team, talking last night during a practice in Bentonville. The team's first match in the Dr. Pepper Dallas Cup is Monday at noon. You can learn more about the event at dallascup.com. Good, square.
KUAF Spring On Air Fundraiser begins Monday, April 1st, and we're looking for some challenges. This is KUAF Station Manager Rick Stockdale, and you can help us encourage listeners who have never contributed to KUAF before by contacting us today with your challenge grant. Call or email us with your name and the amount of your challenge. Then when the fundraiser starts on April 1st, we'll use your challenge to match the gifts of first-time donors. They'll be doubling their money to KUAF, and you can help us reach our goal of $160,000. If you'd like to make a challenge, call Molly at 575-7259 or email us at kuafinfo@uark.edu. Thanks a lot.
Outside of our office, despite the cooler weather, yellow daffodils are blooming at the Fayetteville Public Library and birds are chirping. Spring is definitely in the air. One of the events that signifies the season has arrived is Springfest. After taking a year off, the event is returning to town, rain or shine, on May 4th. Doug Allen, owner of Jose's on Dixon Street and director of the event, says he thought it was a shame that Springfest, which had been a tradition since the early 80s, didn't happen last year. So he got a group of people together to return Springfest to Fayetteville this year.
It's just a fun event, and Fayetteville and Dixon Street are known to have events. So, you know, why not keep it going and do something fun for the people of Fayetteville? You know, we're benefiting Habitat for Humanity, so it's a great cause. And, it fizzled out a few years. Some of it had to do with weather. We got unlucky with some rain. And then, of course, we brought some new blood in with some of the board members this year. And we're going to make it real exciting and fun.
Springfest will feature nonprofit groups, food vendors, and artisans, as well as a variety of events. Doug says festivities will kick off around 7 a.m. with a pancake breakfast at Jose's. The Bed Races, a longtime favorite event, are returning with Springfest this May.
Oh, Bed Races, absolutely. We were oiling the wheels on the beds, and they'll be ready to go.
What other events can people look forward to this year? Old events, new events?
There's the dog parade. We're definitely doing a dog parade, so all the people that are dog lovers can come out and bring their dog. And So that'd be a lot of fun. We also got Irish dancing. We got the belly dancers. We have a music stage, which we're featuring all of our local musicians, which is very important to us to support our local musicians around Fayetteville. We got some great musicians around here. So we got a main stage that'll be at the Walton Arts Center. And we'll also have a headliner act that night. It hasn't been determined yet who that is. We're still working on that. So we got a bunch of great live music for that day planned.
Doug says the main stage show will likely end around 10 or 10:30 that night. Something new this year is Springfest will coincide with Walton Arts Center's Trail Mix concert series. Because this is Springfest's first year back and there are new people involved, Doug is hoping to learn from this year's event.
Our goal this year is to keep it really simple because there's a lot of new people, including myself, trying to get this thing going and just kind of observe and figure out what we want to add to it in the years to come. But right now we want to keep it very simple, keep it fun, and raise some money for Habitat for Humanity.
Springfest returns to Dixon Street in Fayetteville May 4th, rain or shine. The event is free and open to the public. More information is available at FayettevilleSpringfest.com.
And if Springfest is making a return, it is connected to something to do with the Walton Arts Center. We'll talk about that in a moment with Jody Besnoska, who is Vice President for Communications at Walton Arts Center. Welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
First full day of spring.
Yeah. Everybody was talking about the first day of spring yesterday, and I went, wait, I thought it was the 21st. But...
Well, generally it is, and sometimes the equinox does fall on the 21st. This year was the morning of the 20th, so I'm calling this the first full day.
I can go with that, although I do wish it was a little more springish.
Is it quiet for you guys at your place?
Well, it is technically quiet on the stage. There's not much going on the stage, but as is typically the case, it's pretty busy in the office. But we don't have anything going on at the WAC until, I believe it is next week, where Garrison Keillor will be here.
Right. Are there any tickets for that?
If they are, they might be singles.
Okay.
Not very many. So that one you might need to, you know, try to call in a couple times and get the scoop on the waiting list and all of that. That's the Thursday that I believe that is the 28th of March. Saturday the 30th, Circa, which is the next show on our 10x10 art series, will be happening. That is also, I believe, sold to capacity at this point. So, again, keep calling if you really want to come, because sometimes tickets do open up. And that's all we got for March. And then we go right into April, where things get, I would say, pretty busy. Our first Walton Arts Center show in April will be the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater. That's two performances on Saturday, April 6th. That's a Saturday, so great, perfect, like, family outing kind of thing. And Gregory Popovich is a circus trained, he's a clown, he's a acrobat, and he creates this show with rescue pets. Geese, ducks, rabbits, dogs, cats, the whole thing. I think it sounds kind of delightful in a slightly, it's probably a little bit corny, honestly.
Sure.
But I'm sure it's wonderful. And kids, my gosh, kids are going to love it.
I imagine this is, whenever you describe the show, I think of the boardwalk in Atlantic City. I think of a place where you can go in and watch someone's rescue pets. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
But it just seems sort of old-time entertainment.
I agree. That's a better word than corny, goodness.
They can dovetail.
This kind of entertainment has been around for hundreds of years.
Right. You would have seen this on vaudeville.
Exactly. Yes. And plus they're rescue pets. And, you know, many of us, you and I know we have a thing for rescue pets.
Yes, we do.
April 6th is that. That's a Saturday. And then the following Tuesday, we'll kick off Anything Goes, the next show in our Broadway series. Cole Porter. I keep coming across things that make me just so excited to see this show. It's produced by Roundabout Theater Company, which is, I think, the only nonprofit producing house on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And so most Broadway houses are commercial. They're for profit. Mm-hmm. Roundabout is nonprofit. And so we love the idea that we can have them touring and they can come in. But the show is probably one of the best designed that I've seen, you know, in a couple of years.
Equity show and all that.
Yes.
Nonprofit does not mean anything but nonprofit.
Correct. It just means that their business structure is different than a commercial theater. But in terms of artistic quality, I mean, it's the best I've seen. I mean, the costumes are glorious. The tap dancing. The set is this giant white. This show is set on a cruise ship, and the set is a two-story cruise ship. So like you're on the deck of the the actors and the singers are on the deck of the ship, and you can see the smokestacks and the railings. And so it's a very multi-leveled set. It's all white, so when the lights change, it's really dramatic and beautiful, and it's wonderful. So that runs from April 9th through the 14th, 7 performances of that. We do not have an evening performance on the Sunday that ends the run. Let's see. Theater Squared will start their next show, Next to Normal, on April 18th. It's a fantastic Broadway musical, new Broadway musical that is now touring out to regional theater. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
And that'll be interesting for T2.
Mm-hmm.
They've done musicals before. They did...
Last 5 years. They did I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, I think. Did they do that?
Did they do that?
I don't remember.
But there was the one that was also from here that had Threepenny Acre doing the music.
Oh, of course. Sundowntown.
Sundowntown.
Right, right.
But this is...
This is an actual musical,
right.
Like where Sundowntown, I think,
had a narrative,
play with music
and, right.
kind of thing. But Next to Normal, I mean, it only came out 3 or 4 years ago, and it just kind of rocked the world of Broadway because it's a modern story, but it's also a very current feel to the show. It's one of my favorites. The music in it is fantastic. So that's April 18th through May 12th, and we will have our second Caravan Sarai performance on April 19th. This is featuring music from Morocco. Mm-hmm. Little Big Town will be at the Amp on April 19th as well. And then the Monterey Jazz Festival on tour will be here on April 20th. And that's Christian McBride and another really good jazz name that I can't remember. Shoot. Well, we'll get that next time.
It just escaped me. I'll think of it in a moment. But before you and I had the conversation, Antoinette, talking with organizers from Springfest, it was dormant last year. It's back, and it's mixed in with Trail Mix,
which
is part of Artisphere.
Yes.
And Artisphere's slate of events can be found now at
artispherefestival.org. Yep. Really fun lineup this year. There's sort of 4 areas of programming for Artisphere. There's what we're calling... it's kind of like live music and more, where we've got lots of great concerts at Trail Mix and at the First Thursday, First Friday and some concerts up at Cooper and Thorn Crown Chapel. But Trail Mix, which is the one that coincides with Springfest this year, I think this is our 3rd or our 4th year doing Trail Mix. And this is probably one of the most unique things that we have managed to come up with as part of Artisphere. Basically, what happens with Trail Mix is we take a bunch of different bands and we put them on our trails. The past couple of years, we've had Trail Mix out at Lake Fayetteville. So you've needed a bike to get from station to station. And then last year was the first year we took it up to the Crystal Bridges trails. This year, we're going to have the Trail Mix will have two phases, basically. The Fayetteville phase will be down here on Frisco Trail, right walking next to the studio.
Right.
And then we'll go back up to Crystal Bridges for the afternoon portion
of it. So it's same day.
Mm-hmm.
And if it rains on that Saturday,
we've got it
Sunday.
We've got the rain date for Sunday. Yep.
But if you're on the Frisco Trail in Fayetteville and you hear someone you really like, you go up to Bentonville
and hear them again. Yeah, and then I think what's fun this year is I think there's more, like, I believe there's at least 7 or 8 bands that are going to, you know, between the two sites, you know, we'll be playing. And it's going to be a mix. That's what I love about it. Like, we'll bring in some bands that people will have never heard or seen before, but they're just really awesome. But then we'll also have local groups like Threepenny Acre and Still in the Hill. And
fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Jack Hanna will be
there that weekend.
That weekend,
yeah.
Very weekend.
That one is not free. That one you have to buy a ticket for. But
and he's bringing animals with him.
He will have animals, and our gallery exhibitions will be animal featured as well.
So does that mean the green room where you usually have musicians, or the green room will be full of falcons or koala bears or whatever?
If I remember correctly, our shop. Which is where all of our storage is and where some of our building gets done. When he was here last time, I believe that was sort of a menagerie back there, you know, just crates and animals everywhere. They will probably keep the green room for the humans.
If people want to know anything else.
WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600, or you can come and visit us at the box office. We might not know everything.
Right.
But we know most everything about events at Walton Arts Center.
Thank you, Jody.
Thanks.
This week in This American Life, millions of people have been removed from welfare roles in the last 15 years. Politicians have patted themselves on the backs for that. But at the very same time, the same number of people have signed up for government disability checks. It's ballooned from 8 million to 14 million people. Not all the same people who came off welfare, but there are towns where it is 1 in 4 adults. 1 in 4. This week.
Hey,
listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Spring Valley.
Spring Valley?
Yep.
Can you enlighten me where Spring Valley is?
It's on 412, kind of, let's see, northwest of Hinesville.
Okay. I've driven through there.
You've probably driven through it and just not realized.
All right. My apologies to the residents of Spring Valley for not instantly knowing where you were.
There you go.
I know where you will be tonight.
Yes. Becca Martin Brown and I and some of her friends are going to the Lady Razorback basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
It's Memphis. It's the first round of the WNIT tournament.
Yes.
If they win this game, they'll play, I think it's the winner of Sam Houston State. I can't remember who
I'm honestly
else.
Not sure. What does NIT stand for? I get so confused with all of the different tournaments. I know the NCAA and then the NIT.
You want to ask me about the history of basketball tournaments?
Oh, dear.
The NIT,
what have I done?
The NIT, there's the NIT and there's the WNIT. NIT,
right,
National.
Women's, men's, right.
Right. So National Invitational Tournament, which
there it is.
Should then be the MNIT. If we're going to put the W
okay,
in front.
Okay,
all right.
Right. We will write them a letter as soon as we're done.
But the NIT is actually older than the NCAA men's basketball tournament. It existed before that. And it was a national tournament. And so it happened quickly, but then the NCAA men's basketball tournament superseded the NIT mm-hmm. in importance. That's where the national champion comes from.
Okay.
And you have a women's NCAA basketball tournament as well. They're the ones who at the end get to claim their number one. Mm-hmm. They've won the national championship. But there are 32 teams that also had good seasons but aren't selected to be in the NCAA
sure.
tournaments, they go to the NIT. So the WNIT has Arkansas. Arkansas was this year's SEC automatic qualifier for the WNIT,
mm-hmm.
meaning they were the highest finisher in conference play that did not get the invitation to
okay.
the women's NCAA basketball tournament.
Very cool. I'm excited to go. I haven't been to a basketball game on campus for a while, so I'm excited to go and see the women play.
I'm banned. The only games I've seen in person this year, they have lost. Registered mail. Mr. Kellums, please do not attend tonight at Bud Walton. So I will be listening on the radio
okay.
to Andrew Reynolds, the regular play-by-play guy.
I'm looking forward to it. Did you fill out your bracket for the NCAA tournament?
I got to do that soon.
Yeah, today.
Right.
It starts today.
Yes, it's started now.
Yeah.
Actually, so I guess my answer is no, I have not done it this year.
Well, don't watch the games and we'll allow
okay.
it.
Thank you.
First thing I did when I woke up.
Okay.
Because I had not done it yet. So.
Since we've gone to the Daily Show, my consumption of the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament has dropped
significantly.
Dramatically.
Yeah.
I think last year I maybe saw one game.
Because
this was a lot of people take off work because
mm-hmm.
the games start before noon. But it's just not in the cards
anymore.
I have
a family member who will go to – actually is on his way to Vegas if he's not there now and does it from there every year.
I know somebody who does that as well.
Uh-huh.
Not a family member, but a good friend. Quickly, tomorrow's program, Ozarks at Large.
Yes.
We are celebrating an anniversary. We do anniversaries oddly here. It's the 23rd anniversary of me producing Ozarks at Large.
Yes.
The actual anniversary date was back on March 10th. Mm-hmm. So we celebrate it in March.
Yes.
A couple years ago, we did our favorite sounds
mm-hmm.
as a staff. Last year, because it was the 22nd anniversary, we did pairs.
We did pairs.
And this year, it's the 23rd.
So things in succession. So we decided to go with letters.
Right.
So a story starts with an A. The story is about something with a B, C, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we don't get all the way through the alphabet.
No,
that would have been
a
great challenge.
That would have been quite the challenge.
We'll do that one with the 32nd anniversary. How's that?
Okay. Sure. Why not?
So it's kind of our anniversary show tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7. You and I will be together for that.
We will.
And somebody will be here for Sunday.
Somebody
will
be here for
that out. Yes.
Sunday. Schedules are a little crazy with spring break and whatnot, but
right.
getting back to normal next Monday.
Right. Some of the stories on tomorrow include the Arkansas Country Doctors Museum.
Mm-hmm. I went out there this week.
That's the A. Blues in the Natural State Festival
mm-hmm.
is coming up. It's the best ever. And that's the B.
Uh-huh.
And so on. We go to the drive-in for D.
We do go to the drive-in.
Feed Fayetteville and their latest efforts is F. You get the idea.
Yep.
All right. Doing anything else this weekend?
Possibly going out of town just for a quick trip.
Good for you.
Quick trip.
Good for you. Get some spring break.
Get some spring break in, even if it's just a regular weekend.
Right.
That's my plan.
Right. I should tell you that Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
My name is Antoinette Grajeda.
We'll be back with you tomorrow for that special anniversary show. And possibly both of us or one of us will be here for Sunday.
Try and stay warm today.
Please do. And be careful if you are traveling this weekend.
Yes. Thanks for listening.
Have a very pleasant Thursday.